Okay, this workshop is counseling parents of rebellious teens, and I'm Rose Cologne with Lighthouse Biblical Counseling Center, formerly with Pure Life Ministries. We opened a new counseling center, my husband and I, about a year ago, and a lot of what I'll be sharing today is coming out of what we're seeing at our counseling center. So just open a word of prayer before we get started. Lord, I do thank you for this opportunity just to be able to share your word with these hungry saints of yours. Father, I pray as we have this time together that your Holy Spirit would just minister to each one and that you would equip the saints, Lord, for those that they will minister to in this particular area. Lord, I pray that your word would be sufficient for every situation they face in dealing with parents and dealing with rebellious teens. Lord, I pray that they would be confident in your answers to the problems that are rising in this day and age that we're living in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. When we look at what rebellion is, when you look up the definition in Noah Webster Dictionary, it says rebellion is defined as an open resistance to any authority. It's a conscious choice, which involves the will, so it's willful disobedience against any type of authority. It's really idolatry. Idolatry is at the heart of rebellion. It's basically saying, I desire to be my own God. Therefore, I'm going to do what I want to do, and no one's going to tell me differently. That's really at the heart of rebellion. And throughout the scriptures, we see that God responds to rebellion by pronouncing judgment on it. Unfortunately, there may be consequences for the entire family if one member of the family is rebellious, especially teens, because what we find is sometimes teens will get themselves in trouble where the law gets involved, and it's affecting the whole family now. This shouldn't surprise us, what we see when parents come to us for counseling for rebellious teens, because in 2 Timothy, we've already heard this at the conference, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, it says, in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. And what's amazing is, many times if parents come to counseling with a rebellious teen, you'll find out that this teen is involved in church and they are actively involved in the youth group as well. It's amazing to me, every time we turn on the news, the radio, or the internet, we see this prophecy really given how many years ago, staring us right in the face today. Children are defying their parents' authority to the point that they're willing to murder their own parents. I mean, I still can't wrap my mind around that when I hear that and see this. We're seeing lawlessness abounds. Everyone's doing right in their own eyes. And when a parent comes for a counseling, in dealing with a rebellious teen, they're basically wanting to know, well, what is my responsibility and what's not my responsibility? And according to the scriptures, what we see, parents are responsible for establishing their parental authority in their homes, as we see in Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4. And really, this comes out of also Exodus 20, verse 12, where it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that you may be well and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And what you see there in that portion of scripture is that a child needs to realize they are to be submitted under their parents' authority. And God has just designed us in that way, that we're all to be submitted one to another. So there's this headship. And when you look at what that word really means for the child to submit himself to his parents in this way, it means to listen in the Greek, to hearken. It's kind of like one who knocks at the door and you let in and you listen to what they have to say, to be obedient, to submit to. But it also says that the father, as he is establishing his parental authority in the home, that he shouldn't do it in a way where it's going to provoke the child to anger. Fathers are responsible to take this role. It's their responsibility, not with force, intimidation, or using anger, but in love, with much patience and understanding, because as we read in James 1, verse 19, it says, every man, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And we see that in our counseling center. When a father comes for counseling, it's very interesting because they come bringing the child for counseling, and after we meet with the child first, we'll realize it's the parents really that need the counseling. So it's kind of reverse on the parent because they realize, well, we really don't have the issue. It's our son that has the issue. Our daughter has the issue. So fix them for us. We want you to fix them for us. But we start seeing that many times the dad is trying to fix the situation in anger and frustration. And same thing with the mom. And we need to let these counselees know when they come to us that just if they respond in anger and shouting, it's just going to push the child further away from you and also away from them and also provoke them to anger, to wrath, and they develop a resentful and bitter hearts towards the parent. And they also become discouraged, as we see in Colossians 3, verse 21, where it says fathers. And when it talks about fathers in the scripture verse, the Greek is talking about both parents. Do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. And to provoke means that to cause someone to harbor feelings of resentment. And again, we're seeing this at our counseling center where when you talk to the child, they're full of bitterness and anger and hatred towards their parents. But really, when you start digging deeper, you see the reason why they're angry and bitter and resentful is because they can't do what they want to do. They want to be their own God and do their own thing. You might have a situation where an absentee father is not in the picture. There's no dad there. And the mom then, in that point, according when we look at Colossians 3, she needs to establish her parental authority in the home with the support of her pastor or the youth pastor. Because what I'm finding is sometimes if we have a situation like that in our counseling center, the children are involved in the youth group with the youth pastor. So they need to know what's going on at home with the child so they could work together in that. Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9, it says, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants to your neck. And what we have been seeing, I'm sure you have seen it as well, that many times when a parent comes for counseling, it's a child-centered home. Everything revolves around that child. And as I mentioned earlier, we have dads trying to establish their authority by force. They're disciplining the children in anger, provoking their children to anger. And we have one situation where when I got the application, I just almost fell off my seat because the children were literally spitting at the moms and the dad, just cursing them out. And these are Christians in church. I mean, the kids are involved in the church, the youth group. But they were hitting the parents, and I'm saying, how is this? How can this be? Well, you know, it's amazing when we would sit down with the parents, both of them in the same room, it's amazing how they were blaming each other, constantly back and forth, blaming each other. Well, they're like that because of you, and they're like that because of you, and back and forth, back and forth. And they weren't getting anywhere. I mean, they were absolutely getting nowhere. And the husband had shared with us how he didn't grow up in a godly home, and he was basically repeating what he saw his dad do. So, and we were trying to encourage him that even though your dad was not there for you, you can still learn biblical parenting. God has given us his word to help us in that way. So even though there might be a lack of biblical parenting due to their upbringing or maybe the dad wasn't around, we can encourage them by telling them you can still learn how to parent God's way. Because God gave so much instruction on that, especially in the book of Proverbs, when you look through Proverbs. So one assignment that we had given this family to do was to do a conference table. And what that was is the whole purpose we wanted for them for that assignment was so they could model repentance to their children. And the first thing we told them to do, we said, just repent to your kids for not being the godly example to them. And by owning up to your own sin, how you've responded in a way that God has not desired for you to respond, maybe by provoking to anger or disciplining harshly in certain situations, be willing to humble yourself and repent to your children in that way and start modeling that to them so that when they're wrong, when they have their sinful attitudes that come out of their heart and towards the parent, they will know, okay, I know I need to make things right with mom and dad here. I'm in the wrong because you've been willing to humble yourself in that way. And also another goal of doing that conference table was that the children would see that the Bible was going to be the standard and the guide in their home that they were going to live by. No longer what mom thinks or dad thinks or my opinion or his opinion. What does God's word say? That way they know that that authority in the home is based on what God has said. So realizing, okay, mom and dad are submitting themselves under God's authority in our home. And again, it was good for the children to see them model this. So we gave them that assignment to do. And it's unfortunate because the parents got stuck on, well, you this and you that and you that and you this and the other thing. And they wound up getting a divorce. And it was all because the kids. That was the story that didn't turn out to a happy ending. But they didn't choose to do it God's way. And that was the issue. And they came to us and they said, the counseling worked. The counseling center didn't fail us. They took the faults themselves. They said, we're at fault here. We just didn't apply what we were learning because we're so stubborn and stuck on our pride. So it was a blessing for us to hear that they were taking ownership. But it was very sad to see that situation didn't have to end that way if someone was willing to humble themselves, if they both were willing to humble themselves before the kids. So that's one scenario. What else is the parent responsible for according to the scriptures? Well, Proverbs 22:16, we hear this a lot. They are responsible to train up a child in the way that they should go, meaning they need to be intentional and focused in teaching the child the ways of God. And I don't know if you picked up in Ephesians 6:4 earlier, where it said that fathers are to bring up the children in the training and admonition of the Lord. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. Listen to how this is worded here. It says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your home, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as signs on your hands, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And what you see there is that God was commanding the children of Israel, the parents, to teach the children the ways of the Lord, to talk of them often, to walk in them, before them, model it. But it should be a lifestyle in our home. We're not just one way in church and another way at home. That our lifestyle in God as parents is consistent. When they lie down in the morning, noon, and night, whatever they're going through should constantly be an opportunity for them to point them to God and to teach them about the ways of God and the blessings of God if we're obedient to live our lives and pattern our lives according to His Word. So what we have noticed, though, when a parent comes in for counseling, and you've probably seen this too, is many times they'll look for a church or they want a Sunday school teacher to teach their children the things that they really should be teaching their children at home, they're neglecting. They're really neglecting their God-given responsibility. And we're seeing that at our counseling center. We'll sit and talk with parents, and we were wondering, Wednesday night, we have young kids that come to our Wednesday night Bible study. They don't come to our church, but they want to come to our Bible study. And we're doing the Doulos Bible study by ABC. We're just doing that Bible study with the whole church and with the young kids. And these kids want to come and be a part of what we're doing on Wednesday nights because we're teaching the Word. But, you know, we ask them, well, why don't they have something for your children at church? And they say, well, all they have at church is games. Mm-hmm. They're not teaching them the Word. And we're seeing that there's kids out there that are hungry for truth. But the church is not all churches, but I know in our area it's just all about games. You know, let's just play games and bring them in that way. But what we're seeing, many times the parents will make decisions as far as where they'll go, is if my children are going to be taught the Word of God. But again, God has commanded them. You teach them. You show them. We had a gentleman that came, and God bless him, because he was very sincere, very honest. And his son goes to this big church, about 20 minutes from where we are. And the son is in the youth group involved. And he took one of the kids and slammed them on the floor. Well, of course, he's got charges pressed against him. So when they came to counseling, they just brought the son. Here, we want you to deal with his anger. Fix him for us. So we said, well, does your pastor know that you guys are coming to us for counseling? Because that's one of the things we'll tell him. You need to let your pastor know you're here for counseling. No, they don't know. And when we said, well, why not? You need to let them know. And you need to find out if they have counseling available for you there before you come here. Well, they contacted us and they said there's no counseling. They can't offer us any counseling there. So they're behind us. We're getting counseling with you guys. So we're saying, okay, that's... And the kids involved in their youth group. And so we met with the parents because we realized we need to talk with the parents and find out what's going on. And it was such a blessing because his dad said, you know, I have not been the spiritual priest in my home. I'm so busy pursuing the world and the things of this world. I have not modeled at all to my son what it means to live for God, what it means to have a relationship with God, what it means to reverence God. He took full ownership. He said, I'm at fault here. And I've realized I failed, and I need to get my priorities in the right order. I need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And it was such a blessing to hear that from him, because he realized his son was the way he was because he hasn't been an example to him of what it means to pursue God, to go after God with all of your heart and all of their minds. You know, many times what we have seen also in counseling is the husband is dependent on the wife. Will you do it? I'm out there working, bringing in the money. Let the wife take care of that. And there's nothing wrong with the wife taking care of that, but it's the dad who's supposed to be the spiritual priest of the home, you know, and they have to work together in that. So what we're seeing is many times parents don't realize that the Bible has a lot to say about parenting. We had another situation where it was an elder from another church came for counseling. And same thing, brought his son. We want you guys to fix my son. And we realized when we did our initial counseling with the parents that he's an elder in his church. And we told him, well, you need to let your pastor know that you're here for counseling, because we know his pastor. We know him very well. And as we started counseling them on parenting issues, the father said, I didn't realize the Bible had so much to say about being a dad, about raising my children. And he went back to his church and told the pastor, I'm stepping down from eldership. Mm-hmm. And the pastor didn't understand why. Mm-hmm. He said, my home's not in order. I'm looking to see what the scriptures say the qualifications are for a elder in the church. And I realize I can't even keep my own home in order with my kids. And he has six kids. And he says, I'm stepping down. again, we just, God's word showed him that. And but he's done such a 180. He implemented the conference table at home with the kids. He sits with the Bible. And the kids are saying, because his kids come to our Wednesday night, my dad's changing. He's not the same. He's actually leading us in God's way. So it's a blessing when parents take ownership for how they have not been that example, or they're pursuing other things. God can really turn it around in the home and start setting things in order. And then it starts trickling down so the kids realize, wow, if God's showing me, my dad's showing me that I need to respond in this way, and if I choose not to obey God, I'm really not rebelling against Dad. I'm rebelling against God, and I'm accountable for my actions. And that's what's happening in this situation that I just mentioned. In Psalm 78, verses 1 through 8, again, you could hear the cry, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling it to the generation to come, the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done, that they should make them known to their children, that the generations to come, that they might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright, and whose spirit was not faithful to God." And what we see, again, God has given this responsibility to the parents to tell it to the children. And Lord willing, they'll tell it to their children. And Lord willing, they'll tell it to their children. I mean, that's something that is a God-given responsibility, and parents need to know that. It's not just the Sunday school teacher should be teaching the children, but they need to be living it out and modeling it out in their home as well. Well, what else does the scriptures tell us about the parents' responsibility? Well, we see that they are to use corrective discipline in their child's life, whether they have sinful thinking, behavior, or attitudes. We see in Proverbs 22:15, it says, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but a rod of discipline drives it far from him." And Proverbs 29:15 says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother." And again, how many times have we seen that in counseling? Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12 says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights." And we have to, as parents, when parents come, you know, especially nowadays, you're not supposed to spank your children. And, you know, children can report you now. And some people are facing charges and all kinds of crazy things because of this issue. But yet God's word, are we going to allow God's word lead and guide as a parent? That's what parents have to ask themselves, or let the culture define what kind of parent we're supposed to be. Because when you look at those scripture verses, folly's bound up in the heart of a child. I mean, we do foolish things. Think about when we were kids. We did foolish things, but good spanking we got. I mean, that made us think twice, right, about doing it again. And sometimes they didn't even have to, back in the day, you just got to look. And you knew, when I get home, I'm going to get it. So I better stop right now. But it's so different now. And we have to realize, we have to tell the parents that when they come to us, if you have to discipline your child, which you will have to discipline your child, reassure them that it's out of your love for them. You love them. You love them. Jesus disciplines us. You know, and that's where putting a testimony that God disciplines me when I do the wrong thing, when I say the wrong thing or have a sinful action in my conduct or whatever it might be. Hebrews 12 verses 9 through 11, where it talks about we have had human fathers who corrected us and we pay them respect, hopefully. Shall we not much more readily be subjected to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed just for a few days chastened us as it seemed best for them. But he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And the parent can share that with their child as they're disciplining their child, which is their responsibility. That God disciplines me, and there's a purpose behind it, so I could become more Christ-like in how I think and how I act and how I speak. And if I discipline you, it's because you're disrespecting. But God's word says you are to respect, or just show them in God's word so they understand I am sinning against God, and God does deal with rebellion. He does deal with disobedience. We had one kid that came in, and the same kid that body slammed another kid in the church, and we told him last week, we said, you know, you should be very thankful. We came out of counseling with his parents, and we said to him, you should be very thankful that you're not living in New Testament times, because you know what? You would have been stoned. And he was, really? He was shocked. We said, yeah. Read the Old Testament. Thank God for grace today, for repentance today. But, you know, reality is God deals with sin. He deals with sin in our lives. And the children need to understand that. If God deals with us as parents, you know, when you're counseling, that God deals with them as parents for sin, well, yeah, they're called to deal with sin in their children's lives as well, because they're going to have to give an account to God. I think about King David in 2 Samuel 13. Remember when Ammon violated his half-sister, Tamar? We read that King David was very angry over what his son did to his daughter. However, we never read anything on what did he do to discipline his son? What about Absalom? You know, what did David do to discipline them? Going back to Ammon and Tamar, you think about maybe he didn't want to discipline his son because maybe his son would have challenged him with, well, you and Bathsheba. You know, what happened with you and Bathsheba? Now, sometimes kids will throw things back at you, the same back at you. But, you know, what we see, David wasn't responsible for the sin that Ammon committed against his half-sister. But I wonder if David did regret and had regretful thoughts that if only I would have done things differently, maybe things wouldn't have went to that extreme. If only I had been disciplining my son in this area, correcting his behavior in this area, maybe things would have turned out a little different. David was responsible to God for training his children to live for God's glory. He was responsible to reproving, rebuking, and correcting their ungodly behavior and for training them in righteousness. But do we ever read that ever happened in the scripture? David experienced God's discipline in his life. Didn't he? So, you know, we don't know. We can't read between the lines, but it's something for parents to take notice of, that when a child is in rebellion and they do see them going in the wrong pathway, the pathway that leads to death, destruction, bondage, it is their responsibility to bring correction into their life. Otherwise, you know, that person can wind up in jail someday. That child can wind up in jail someday. You know, we worry about this kid with this anger problem because he's not repenting of it. And we told the parents, if your son does not repent of this, who's to say he won't kill someone? You throw someone down the wrong way and they hit their head in a way that he'll be in jail. You know, so you have to deal with this anger issue that he has. But what they're seeing is they have an anger issue that they haven't dealt with. So they're realizing we got to deal with our heart and look at our sin. So that leads to my next point. What is the parent responsible for according to the scriptures? Well, they need to examine their own heart while parenting. Think about Rebecca in Genesis 25 through 28. You can read her whole story there. But you will see how the parents were playing favorites. Rebecca loved Jacob, and she favored him. Well, Isaac loved Esau more. And how many times can we see that in counseling? Where parents are playing favorites, the first couple I talked about. You could tell the mom was playing favorites with the son, and the dad was playing favorites with the daughters. And then there's so much so that they were justifying the kids' behavior, their sin, the spitting, the cursing, the fighting. They would sit there justifying it. And it was like, okay, wait, you're not seeing right. You're not seeing things right. So when we look at Rebecca and Isaac and the favoritism they were playing, you see how Rebecca turned to deceit, right? To get the blessing for her son, for her favorite son. And she convinced Jacob, her favorite son, to deceive her husband and tricked him into getting his blessing. However, what we learn from her story, really what was in her heart was revealed through her children. God exposed what was in her heart. And what I've seen in counseling, and God will use a child's rebellion to reveal to the parent the idolatry that's going on in their own heart. Maybe they desire the perfect child that they could boast in, or maybe they're putting the children before the husband or even before God, or I've already mentioned, maybe they're justifying or minimizing the child's sin. How many times we've seen that in the counseling where they're minimizing their sin? Well, it's not that bad. So when a parent comes for counseling dealing with a rebellious child, we shouldn't allow the parent to excuse, to justify, or to minimize the child's sinful behavior. And they need to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal any idolatry that's going on in the parent's heart. Like I said earlier, thankfully we have seen parents come into our counseling center that is allowing the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to expose in their heart where they're falling short of the glory of God, and they're taking ownership of that. But if the parent is going to wink at sin, well, what do they think the child's going to do? It's not that bad. It's not a big deal. I mean, after all, you do it. So why are you preaching at me? I mean, the parents and kids have told us that. You know, my parents, they tell me to do these things, but they're doing the things they're telling me not to do. But we have to show them, well, you're accountable before God. Even if your parents are choosing not to do what they know God is telling them to do, that doesn't excuse you or leave you off the hook. Because you have to give an account before God, too. And many times what we see in counseling is that the Lord will use the child's rebellion to help the parent to grow in Christ-likeness, to help the parent to examine their own walk with God. We've seen that. To help the parent to see, do they really know what the Bible has to say about parenting? And also to learn how to seek God's face for their children. To really seek God's face. Because some of the parents, they know, it just seems so out of control, my child. I don't know what else to do but to pray for them. And they are like before the throne of God, day and night, crying out for their children. God, please get a hold of them. Save them. Do something in my child's heart. Bring them to repentance. So those are the things that parents are responsible to do when they are dealing with a rebellious child. But what are they not responsible for? Okay, we looked at what they are responsible for, but what they aren't. Parent cannot choose for their child to have a walk with God. They're not responsible for that. And I think that's the most heartbreaking thing we see in counseling with parents. They want so desperately for their children to serve God. Or if they walked away from God, why? They were raised in a godly home, I understand. And it breaks your heart to see them lamenting over that. That's the one thing they want. And we just have to tell them and encourage them with the Word of God that children will not always choose to walk in God's way, even if they were raised in a godly home. Don't we see that with Eli in 1 Samuel 3? He was a godly man. He was a high priest. But yet he had two sons. And how would you like your two sons have these names, which meant sons of Baal, or sons of the devil, Phinehas and Hophni, because of the way they were living. That was, their names represented what, the way they were living. And this was a godly man serving in the temple. Eli knew his sons were sleeping with the women who served at the entrance of the tent meetings, but their actions, they proved that they did not respect their father or God. I mean, because they were choosing to do what they were doing. So they had no regard for God and his holiness and who he is and how God had prescribed how we are to approach a holy God. He gave them specific instructions on how to come into his presence. We read that in the Old Testament. But his two sons were just flippant about it. And what we see in their story is when the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant, his two sons were killed in battle. And we never read that they ever repented of what they were doing. Ezekiel 18:20 says, "The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself." And if a parent has a child that is in rebellion, that is choosing to be disobedient, choosing to rebel against God, that parent needs to know you have done everything you knew to do to raise him up in a godly home. It is not your fault that he is turned into or she is rebelling in this way. I've seen parents frustrated in counseling because they're trying to do for the children what the child has to choose for himself. And again, it's very heartbreaking. Children have to make a choice or a decision to follow God. We see that in Joshua 28, verse 14 and 15 with the children of Israel. Joshua said, "Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell in." And what you see there, they were called to make a choice, to choose God, to choose to walk in his way. And their parents, I mean, they were serving foreign gods, had high places, and trying to serve God and serving the devil, really, at the same time, which you can't do. That's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But Joshua's bringing it to a point where you have to make a choice. And parents need to realize that, that the child, they have to be the one to choose. Reality is children rebel and choose to go their own way because that's their decision. That is their decision. Kay Arthur, I like this quote. She says, "God would allow our hearts to break for our children who walk in rebellion and who may even turn and accuse us so that in our hearts we better understand what it's like for him when his children rebel and turn and accuse him. Your pain will cause you to cast yourself on God and depend on him rather than on your own strength." And when this parent just comes and just beside themselves, you know, just dealing with the consequences of their rebellious teenager, we need to encourage them with the word of God, telling them God understands wayward children and the grief that parents experience. He understands because of what he goes through with us. We need to encourage the discouraged mom or dad by looking at Adam and Eve. I mean, they were in paradise. Everything was perfect. Amen. When they sinned against the most perfect father that ever existed and ever will be. They chose to disobey God, rebel against his instructions. God wasn't withholding good for them. And sometimes you hear that. "Well, they're withholding good from me. I can't do what I want to do." Well, God wasn't withholding good from them. He was protecting them from evil that he knew was going to lead to spiritual and physical death. And we need to encourage his parents in this way because they feel like, well, maybe I'm being too hard with my kids. Or maybe I'm being too lenient with my kids. But look at what happened in the Garden of Eden. God gave specific instructions to protect them, and they chose not to submit themselves under his authority. And the same thing happens with parents. Children choose that, the same pathway. And what we learn from this example is even if you're raised in the most godliest environment, that is no guarantee that your children will never rebel. No guarantee. Don't we see it again in the prodigal son? Luke 15, 11 through 32. We can encourage this parent in this way when they're questioning, why is it that godly parents don't have godly kids? Well, Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10 had told us, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately sick, morally sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And when a mom is questioning or a dad is questioning, I don't understand, they were in a godly environment, they were in a good church, they were in a good youth group, we have to just point out the realities that their heart, they need repentance that only God can grant them. They need a new heart. They need to surrender to Christ inside. They need to just submit themselves to his lordship. They need to die daily, conforming their life to the word of God. That's what needs to happen for this child. James 1, 13 through 15, we can help this parent to understand why when she's or he is questioning that what James said about the heart also, let no one say when he's tempted, I'm being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone, but each one's tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust, and when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished or conceived, it brings forth death. And you know, it's very interesting, when Jeff first met with this young boy that threw the other kid down on the floor, the mom told us, well, the reason why he's acting this way is because he has ADHD. And Jeff said, okay, I would like to meet with him, just me and him. So Jeff counseled with the young boy, and when he came out of the office, Jeff told the mom, your son knows what he's doing. He confessed to Jeff. Mm-hmm. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. And he basically told Jeff, I'm in rebellion against my parents because I want to do my own thing. And when I don't get my own way, well, that's when I start acting out. But I know what I'm doing. And Jeff told the parents, your son doesn't have a problem with ADHD. Your son's in rebellion. And he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. So sometimes you'll face these situations like this, and we need to encourage this parent. What is their responsibility? What's not their responsibility? There's so much more that can be said. There's so much in the scripture. You know, Book of Proverbs, you can go through all that. There's so much instruction. But we have the Word of God that can help us to try to encourage this mom that comes to us, this dad that comes to us that's brokenhearted over their children. And even if they've been raised in a godly home, that they realize that God's still sovereign and he's still in control. He's still sovereign. Doesn't matter what it looks like. He's still sovereign. He's still in control. And we encourage them to pray for the children. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. To love them in the midst of the rebellion. To love them. Part of love is disciplining them. Disciplining them. To believe the best. God's able to save them. You think about that prodigal son. The prodigal son, the father, it's just such a beautiful picture of what can happen. And I've heard testimonies of just people that have experienced that. Where all of a sudden the son is in a pig pen or the daughter's in a pig pen and they realize, you know what? I had it so much better when I was in the father's house. And they come back. And when they come back, you love on them, throw the robe around them, sandals on their feet, the ring. Don't say, I told you so. I told you so. Lord, I'm so grateful for how you are with us. Lord, you know how we are as your children and how we rebel and how we go astray. But yet we come to our senses. Lord, you turn us over many times when we get in that mindset. But we come to our senses and realize, what in the world am I doing? And yet there you are. You're there just waiting for us to come back, waiting for us to turn. And I just pray, Lord, that as these men and women are here, that you would just encourage them from your word. Lord, that when these parents come to them looking for answers, that they would know how to minister the truth to the parents, Lord, and that you would just give them wisdom from your word for every situation that they would face in dealing with a rebellious child. Lord, thank you for all the lives we read about in the scripture that help us in times when we are going through things like what we're talking about today, to know that there is an answer and there is a way. Jesus is the answer and you are the way, the only truth and the only life there is. Apart from you, there is nothing else, Lord. And I just pray that you would just continue to put a boldness in each one of these men and women to proclaim the truth no matter what the culture is saying today to us. Lord, that your word would rise in that way in the counseling offices, Lord, and in the lives of the parents, that parents would realize that they have not been spiritual priests of their home and take responsibility for how they have failed. But at the same time, we pray that through our counseling efforts, you would raise up godly men, spiritual priests in the home. And if there isn't a father in the home, Lord, that pastors would step up, youth pastors would step up and helping the mom to be able to establish that authority in the home, Lord. We just pray that. Would you help your body, Lord, that is broken in this area, Lord. And we do pray for all the children that are in rebellion, that proclaim to know you, that are in the house of God, Lord, that you would raise up leaders that would not wink at sin, but that would deal with the sin, Lord, and that you would grant these kids repentance, Lord. Help them to see how they're sinning against you, a holy God, and defiantly rebelling against you, Lord, and grant them repentance, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.